chapter 11, and we are in verse 23. We're going to read all the way down to verse 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, attempting to do, were drowned. So all of this has to do with Moses. I thought it interesting that Isaac had only brought up his deathbed, Jacob his deathbed, Joseph his deathbed, but it's got several examples here of Moses, almost as much as Abraham, which I found interesting. So I wanted to look into it a little closer, and so we'll sort of break this down verse by verse. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Okay. One of the things that you're going to see throughout Moses, but the life of many of these people, is that it will say stuff like they weren't afraid of the king's commandment, or what is another one? Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Well, any of you guys who know Exodus know that it says that he ran because he was afraid of the king. Okay? So, what's the deal? Well, we know what the answer is. The answer is the Bible contradicts itself. Or that's what people will tell you. All right, well, we know better than that. But the answer is that the storyline usually tells you the real deal. It'll tell you what's going on in their soul as well as in their spirit. All right? God doesn't take account of what was going on in their soul here in this book of Hebrews. He doesn't take account of their failures. He doesn't take account of the freakouts that they went through. I thought I'd get an amen over that. Yeah, a woo-hoo was, I think, even more appropriate. Because, I mean, you know, we all have our times, don't we? My God. And what we have to do is not make sure our soul doesn't freak out. What we must do is, in the midst of our freakouts, hold on to the Lord. Okay? Hold on to the Lord. And hold on with a faith that still believes in the cross, still believes in the resurrection, still believes in life out of death. Okay? So that's what's going on here. It says that they were not fearing the commandment of the king, the king's commandment. Well, what was this commandment then? What was the story behind that? What was the deal? Yes. Yeah, the king's commandment was to put to death all of these babies, right? To kill all these babies. Well, let me, before I go on, let me say something here, even though we're on camera. Don't freak out about what I said before we started the camera. If that's the worst thing you ever do, You are loved. You are in Christ. You are a special part of this family here. Nobody's going to hold anything against you. I know that you've dealt with parents and teachers and places that hold stuff. I don't personally hold stuff ever. I said that because, number one, I believe all this stuff I'm preaching, and if God orders certain things to bring greater persecution so that I can lay down my life, I'll do that. Number two, may you live by the same spirit and think about others. That's all. Are you going to do that? Yes, you'll do that. Of course, you were already doing that. You just might not have. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're family. I'm on your side. I am not attacking you, and I will not attack you. I will stand in the gap for you. So, yes. Amen. No, not true. I think any number of people would say the same thing. But I know one thing that Mallory would testify to is this that I brought up is nothing. Oh my God! You know, I just want us to be mindful of others constantly by Christ. Not by rebuke. You weren't rebuked. You were loved. I hugged you when I said that. And I'm hugging you now, doggone it. And the Lord has worked things in me that when I forgive, I forget too. I mean, I actually forget it. No, I do. People go, well, you still, I go, I don't even know what you're talking about. So I don't carry stuff around. And it's nothing to carry around anyway. So, I say that because I saw little looks and things, and it's like, come on, let's just get in the Word and enjoy the Lord, can we? Amen. Okay, let's go back now. This is really sort of an amazing story because in verse 23 it says, by faith Moses, but Moses didn't do it. He was a baby. Pardon? It was his parents. Yes.
Well, I mean, his name, Moses, means drawn out. I mean, the story was a picture of life out of death as he was thrown into the Nile River.
Absolutely. Except I thought his name meant bobcat. But anyway, that's, you know, drawn out.
His name is
drawn out. That's what Moses means. Question, yes.
I thought that was strange that they kept him because he was good looking.
Yeah.
You know? And
because there's no hope for me then. Oh my God.
But one of the definitions is beautiful to God.
Yeah.
And it says they saw that. That's they right. Saw. Like they knew from
that's,
the Lord.
That's really good.
That was good.
I love those kind of comments. Well, I love all of your comments. But this is, you know, the thing Scott said and Kether have said really are painting a picture here. And the picture is that the parents had faith. The parents had faith what? Faith that what? I mean, what kind of faith here? I mean, if you have faith, you know, according to the way that it's preached nowadays, you, as parents, you walk up before Pharaoh and you rebuke him and you stop the massive murdering that's going on, right? I mean, that, you know, you do a miracle, you overcome. Folks, they had faith in, listen carefully, they had faith in a life, in a death that life would come out of. Because all of this death that was going on, there was going to be no life out of it. And so instead of Moses being given over to that death, they put him in what? An ark. No, not a big boat with just him and animals or something. No, no, we're talking about a little reed ark that was really a form of death, but it had faith behind it.
found it, and put him in there and set him loose on the Nile River. Oh, how sweet, floating among the reeds. That thing was crocodile infested. Major hippos, yeah, and crocodiles. And if you know anything about hippos, they are more dangerous than just about any of the animals in Africa. They kill more people than lions. And so, you know, it's by faith they put him in harm's way. No, that's not the spirit behind it. By faith they put him into a death that they believed resurrection would come from. Okay, so what's the story? Well, the daughter of Pharaoh is out bathing and everything, and this floats by this little, you know, ark with this little baby in it. She pulls out, she tells him, go get it for her. She takes the baby out and falls in love with the baby and raises it as Pharaoh's son, or the daughter of Pharaoh, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Raises him in this lavish, wonderful thing. Well, what is that a picture of? God will do miracles. God will give you what you want. God, no, it's a picture of faith, which is a belief that there is a resurrection out of a certain kind of death. Isn't that been the story over and over so far?
Yes.
Well, it will continue to be the story over and over so far as we go. And so he is raised up. He is given all of the benefits of resurrection. Are you following this?
Yes.
And then what happens in the very next verse? I mean, what begins to happen after this? Verse 24, we've been talking about verse 23. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now remember, we have addressed this in several places already in the book of Hebrews. The recompense of reward, folks, is resurrection out of death. We always think it's, you know, salvation, or God's going to bless you if you're a good person, or all that kind of stuff. It's always in these scriptures a reference to that they believe that life comes out of death, and that's why they gave him over to death. But it was a death of faith. Therefore, it had to be a death with Christ, because only death with Christ has a resurrection that comes out of it. Only death in union with Christ has a resurrection out of it. And all these other kids just died. All right. By faith, he forsook Egypt. All right. That's crazy. Anybody think that's crazy? That's crazy. That's crazy. Wait a minute. This, you know, I can hear, you know, somebody saying, wait a minute. They had faith in death and in resurrection out of that death. So they believed in the death because the resurrection is the result of it. You believe in the death, folks, and the resurrection is automatic. You don't make resurrection happen. You make death happen. Yes. Number one, you people all know this. you all knew the name Moses meant bobcat. I mean, drawn out. Absolutely. Wonderful. Wonderful comments. Because this pattern, I mean, it came right out of the elders or the patriarchs or the fathers, all of them going into death for the sons. Then they became fathers, and they went into the death for the next sons. And then they became fathers, and they went into the death for the next sons. And then you've got Moses, and you've got, but he's not the father. It's Jochebed and Amram or something like that. And that's his parents. And they put him into it as parents again. Because you know that wasn't an easy thing. I mean, the Egyptian guys are going through finding all the babies and killing them and probably doing it in a real blatant, ugly-looking manner, you know. So, yeah, they avoided that death, but this is almost sure death, and you're letting him go on the water. You don't know where he's going to end up, you know. You're going to think about that kid the rest of your life, except for he shows up in the palace, you know. Because they had faith. Because they had faith that this was a death for them. This was a death to their child. It was a form of baby dedication. Wasn't it?
Yes.
It was probably a truer form of baby dedication than what most people are doing. Because this was, I give you to the Lord. And the Lord took him. The Lord took him. And he was God's from then on. And you don't hear a whole lot about the parents after that. All right. So, wonderful comments. And what Jennifer was saying also was they went into a death and he came to a resurrection. But here he is in this all the comforts of Egypt and everything. And then we get verse 27. By faith, he, not them. He. And I just have to tell you, what if all Christians really understood this concept of faith and they lived their life in such a way, whether by little deaths daily or however it be taken about, that we go into death for the next generation. You know? And it just kept going and kept going and kept going. And everyone understood. It was like a normal part. And I think this was for the Hebrews to whom it's being written. I think they understood this. I think their understanding of faith was this. And they lived to die so that others may live. So Moses, he's grown. He's got all the benefits of resurrection. And that's why I said, this is crazy. Why do you forsake that? There's only one way. You have to see the things that are invisible, not the things which are seen. You have to see, you have to comprehend faith. You have to comprehend the power of life out of death. You have to comprehend the method that God has chosen to use, and very few will follow, and it's built into the nature of this life out of death, this faith. It's built into the nature of it that selfish men will never go that way. So he doesn't have to worry about getting a mixture and getting a bunch of flaky people in there, because they'll never go that way. Faith works by love. I don't know what that means, but that's really good. No, not really. I would love to get to, but I have got a whole massive amount of stuff on other New Testament books, including those scriptures there, that I would love to really show this reality. Because love, for God so loved, he gave. Faith works by love. All right. Let me see. Soon Moses sent, he sent his resurrection into death to gain a higher resurrection. Well, we'll see that later. Some of you know the scriptures we're heading toward that just blatantly says it. I mean, it just says it. Like this could be sort of veiled. Well, apparently it is, because most people never see these things. But those scriptures will just say it. But this has given us a prelude to that in practical terms, as Moses is living in resurrection and he chooses to go into death. Doesn't it say that? He chooses to go into death so that there would be a greater resurrection, as Jennifer was saying, no longer just for himself, but for Israel. All of Israel coming up in resurrection out of Egypt. And you see, that's the pattern. I mean, I cannot express to you the incredible importance of Genesis 15 when Abram is beside himself with wanting this seed, which seed is Christ, it's declared in the New Testament, Galatians 3:16, which seed is Christ, to come forth, and he's getting older and more decrepit and less able to do anything, and he's worrying about it, and God shows him this vast, I mean, before he's talked about the sands of the sea, which are, you know, innumerable. But he shows him the stars of heaven, and folks, they didn't have fluorescent lights back then and stuff, you know, that blocked all the, it was pure heavens and stars. Layers upon layers of stars. And he looked, and God said, so shall thy seed be. And then it says, and God accounted it, his faith to him, as right standing with him. And then God takes him over and says, okay, now we need to understand exactly how this is going to work. And he takes him to this altar situation. And it's a dark, black darkness. You just have to read it. I mean, like I said, I cannot express to you the value of knowing those scriptures so that the Holy Spirit can breathe the reality there. He takes this man who is going to be the father of faith. And he says, okay, you need to understand this. And he takes him there, and it's this black darkness and this lantern passing through all this kind of stuff. And the prophecy comes forth. You shall be slaves for 400 years, but then you shall come out in great power. I know I keep quoting that, but that's the thing all the way through, isn't it? I mean, we're literally following the actual fulfillment of this through, you know, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and now Moses. And now it's fixing to take place. It's on the verge. Moses is the guy that's going to as it were, be the instrument of death for their resurrection. So, let's see. Make sure I can finish this off here. I was talking about, and he forsook the riches and all of this kind of stuff. And I wrote down, this is not a victory over the cold, cruel world, but over his own comforted flesh to embrace the cross as the true way. By faith, he forsook. See, we say, by faith you gain. By faith you gain gifts. By faith you gain benefits. By faith you gain, you know, when I say gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. By faith you gain. You know, I mean, that's it. And I've said this many times before, and I'll never forget it because it's such a powerful impact on me. But when I first came to the Lord, there was a whole different understanding of the altar. When you went down to the altar, it was a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. We were talking about that halftime, and we forgot to get together. Because you knew, if you go down to that altar, everybody in that congregation knew, if there was an altar call, if I go down there, something's going to happen. God's going to take hold of me, or God's going to, you know, take something away, or I'm going to, you know, because you go to an altar to lay something down, you know. And now people run to the, altar call. I want to go down and get something. Praise God, altar call. Yay, I love altar call. I mean, you've been around long enough to have seen the difference, you know. It's just ridiculous how the spirit was kicked out in relationship to the altar being a representation of the cross and of death and of loss, because it was so valuable to those early saints, and how today it's been turned into a big Christmas tree where you go down and you just get stuff, you know, get blessings and get all this great stuff from God and the prophecies. No, yes, you know. And all the prophecies, none of them are, you need to die, you need to, you know, I mean, it's all, you're going to, you know, you're going to be a prince with God. Isn't that funny? Because Jacob was the guy who was called a prince with God. And it was only because he became so weak he couldn't do anything, and he relied on God. You're a prince. We go, I'm a prince with God because I can do everything for God. I mean, again, all of our understanding is wrong, and we've kicked the cross out of the teaching, out of the word, out of the altar calls, out of everything, because why? Number one, we've allowed it. We didn't do it, but we've allowed it because we didn't get into the word enough and cry out and say, Lord, I need to see you for myself. Abraham saw the real you, and look at the difference. Isaac saw the real you, and look at the you know. And I mean, that's the way I approach it. I said, they're gone. I'm today's, you know, son, you know, I need to really have an encounter with you that changes my life. Well, what do? Well, we get a little humble and hungry and, oh Lord, you know, and we go through that for, you know, 6 weeks, and if nothing happens, we give up and we go back to our old ways. We lose all of that hunger and desire. You know, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yes. Folks, it means going into death and resurrection. That's what that's talking about. All right, let me make sure I'm... So he leaves comfort and he embraces death. He does so in faith, and it's a faith that believes that this death that I'm going to enter into has great recompense of reward. Do you understand what that means? There is going to be a resurrection for all of these millions of people. And he believes it. And he acts upon it. And he loses so that they might gain. Okay? Well, similar thing happened to him. I mean, he ends up, you know, when he's in Egypt, when he's the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he can do anything. He's taught that. Pharaoh wants his grandsons to think, you're going to be great. You are already great. You're in the, you know, family line, da-da-da-da, you're king's kids. You're not king's kids. None of you are king's kids. Jesus is the king, and none of you are Jesus' kids. He's your brother, but he's not your kid. You're not his kids. I mean, and you say, you know, my question was, how many years do we have to hear that before we think it through and go, well, let's quit calling ourselves, king, you know what I mean, king's kids, because that is not accurate. No, we just go, yeah, we're king's kids, and we get all, you know, you understand what I mean? We totally ignore the word, the truth, the line through which this, I mean, yes, you're of God. Yes, you're in Christ. Yes, you are a branch of the true vine. I'm taking none of that away, but you're not a king's kid. And quit jumping up and down and acting like you're something based on something that's not true. And you wonder why I get persecuted. Just calls them like I sees them. All right, so I just see this death. I just see this comprehension. And I think that, you know, I know that he had contact with his parents after the incident where he's taken into the home of, and I know that they're telling him, now don't think this was just luck or that, you know, God was, you know, this or that or a miracle in that sense. This came from death. We died to you so that there'd be a resurrection for you. You know, I know they told him that. They had to. Why? Because by faith, he gets a certain place and he's just, you know, in the lap of luxury and, you know, walking around a resurrection. He goes, you know what? I'm the only one enjoying this. I'm the only one getting this. I'm the only one benefiting from this. And all of our people are down here being slaves and being beaten and working constantly, you know, and, it just hit him. He went, I need to lay down my life. And at first, he didn't fully comprehend that. So he goes down and he kills what? An Egyptian. See, the answer is to kill the enemy. No. This is so foreign, you know. The answer is for us to lay down our life in a faith that brings forth life out of death. The answer is not to kill them, because why? Because no life comes out of death. I mean, have you ever thought, now just tell me, you know, don't say it out loud, this is rhetorical, but have you ever thought, well, praise God, I just hope these terrorists, these suicide bombers, I mean, they keep blowing stuff up and pretty soon they'll all be dead. Praise God. You know, I mean, that only got so many terrorists. They're all killing themselves like idiots. You know, pretty soon they'll run out of idiots. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what you think. Well, see, that's our mind at work again, according to the ways of the world. Make everyone else suffer. Make everyone else die. Let everyone else lose. Let me be happy. Let me be comfortable. You know, the example I've used often, and some of you are new here, but it's a... It hit me one day when we're praying in the church and people start going, well, let's take our city for Jesus. Let's take the city for Jesus. Let's cast the demons out of the city. You leave Denton in the name of Jesus. Get out of here, all of you. And then, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, where are all these demons going? I thought, you know, they're going to everybody else's city. I thought, well, that's not really, is that really the Lord? I mean, I'm just thinking through the thing. I'm kind of going, is that really the Lord to chase all the demons to other people and double their load? You know? And so as I thought it through, I thought, you know what? Instead of chasing them away, shouldn't we be working more on Christ being formed in us so that we can walk in the midst of them? They don't have any power and they're not being, you know, pushed upon other people who have no ability to overcome the devil. At least we have Christ and we can, you know, let's call more demons to our city and live Christ. I know. I see the looks on your face. You were thinking, let's don't. But I, with all my heart, I believe it's wrong, you know. But see, none of that's really real to us. It's sort of a religious, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Well, they don't really go anywhere. I mean, you know, it's just you know, I feel better because I yelled, you know, I rebuke you. Yeah, I feel good. I feel like I'm empowered. I'm with the Lord. Well, be with the Lord, go to the cross and die. Jesus was empowered. He was with the Father, and he didn't chase them all over the neighborhood. I see one over there. I'll get you. It's Jesus. I mean, I just think there's a lot of ridiculousness going on. I mean, that's my opinion now, you know. I'll get off of that now. But, I mean, it just this stuff just blows my mind. And it worries me that no one else seems to be thinking through it a little bit and just going, maybe, is that really in the Word? You know, I mean, do you really see them chasing demons out of their city? You know, I don't. I don't see it anywhere. You know? Sending them in the swine, huh? Well, I could be wrong, but those swine very quickly ran, threw themselves off of the thing, went, drowned themselves, and the demons didn't die. And they didn't leave town either. And go, oh my God, that was terrible. What the heck just happened? I think they thought, well, let's go inhabit some people. Okay, we need to get off of this. What is wrong with you people? All right. All right. So notice this, there's a transition between verse 27 and 28 again. Just like there was a transition between verse 23 and 24. What was the transition? The transition of verse 23 was faith that the parents had that brought forth resurrection to the next verse, which was faith that Moses had who went into death. But wait, there's another transition, and that transition is verse 27 and then coming through to verse 28. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover. Wait a minute. Don't we see? I mean, I wonder how we read these scriptures. There is a huge transition here. First, he's a baby, he's put in there, and then there's a resurrection. Then he's forsaking Egypt. And the verse we just read, he's back in Egypt dealing with the Passover. I mean, a major transition. He left all of that, but now he's back on another ground. Okay? Maybe I should just read my notes and try to get through this. He was called to go back. Moses, at first, if you know the story, he resists. But finally, he realizes, it fully hits him, that in his death, in him embracing this death, and folks, it is a death. Think about it. Being taken in by Pharaoh and his daughter, raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and pulling the stunt that he did, you don't want to come back and face Pharaoh. Oh my God. You know, this is all death for him. This is exactly what he doesn't want to do. And he says it, I don't want to do it. But he also has gone through some weakness, like what happened with Jacob. You know, I'm not able. I can't speak. I can't do it. I can't da 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 da. All right. I've heard that preached as doubt and unbelief. I think it's true belief. It believes that I can't do it. You know, I mean, you're right on, baby. That's true. You can't do it. You know, you've finally come to some reasoning, some true understanding of the way you are. And God says, don't worry, I'll do it. I will be with you. I'll do it. Okay? Well, I can't speak. I'll be with your mouth. Well, I can't do this. I'll be with that. See? Not I, but Christ. And with that acceptance, it's no longer a weakness and a death based on my weakness and failure. Now that's a big statement. I don't know if you caught it. It is Moses has changed at this point. And before, all he saw was weakness, and you know, he did the right thing, but now he's out in the wilderness and he's just a shepherd and he's sitting on the backside of the desert. Nobody knows him. He's doing nothing for God, da 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 da. All based on his fears, his weaknesses, and his failures. And he believes he's a failure. Because remember, God showed him that he was going to deliver Israel. And so he went out and tried to do it and killed that Egyptian and then ran for his life. So he thinks he's failed. He thinks he has totally failed God. Now there's being presented to him an alternative death. Not the death that you deserve based on your failures, but a death with Christ that will bring forth glory to God and liberate millions of people. Hurry up for it, Moses. When he recognizes the spirit of what the thing's about, he's ready to go. He's ready to go. And so, let's see. But once in Egypt, he realized more fully the death and the nature of it. It is not Moses in his doubts and fears anymore, but it is a lamb. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Through faith, he kept the... You see, I said, it's not a death of his own failures and weaknesses and everything. It's a death with the lamb. Do you see that? It's directly connected to the lamb. You know, by faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, what does that mean? Believing life's going to come out of death, not life's going to come out of miracles, because you know, I don't know how much time we got here, but if you've studied the 10 plagues, you know, people say, well, God sent 10 plagues on Egypt and brought Israel out based on, you know, first he sent locusts and then he turned water to blood and then there's flies and then he did this and then he did that and then finally brought them out with a mighty hand through all those 10 miracles. Well, folks, first of all, they weren't miracles to the Egyptians. They were plagues. It's all how you look at it, what side of the thing you're on. You know what I mean? You know, second of all, not a one of them brought them out. They didn't come out till the last one, which was the death of the lamb, which wasn't a miracle at all. Did anybody hear that? Not one of them. Turned to blood, got flies, got this, locusts, got, you know, all of these things that happened. They never left. They never got out of there. No miracle delivered them. And no miracle's going to do the trick that people think it's going to do today. People are running after miracles, running. This will change the world. If we do this, you're just like Moses before Pharaoh, throwing junk at something that is not going to change. Only death is the answer, and life will come out of death. And in this case, who died? The lamb. Yeah, let me ask you a question, Kim. This is pretty simple stuff, isn't it, really? I mean, it is. It's just pretty simple. I mean, this is rocket science here. Jesus' death and our union with him into that death is the answer, but we keep slipping back. And you know what? You'll slip back again and again. If you put yourself, what did it say? Abraham... might have had opportunity to return if he had been mindful of it. That's right here in Hebrews 11. You fill your mind with that stuff. You get around that stuff, watch it on TV, listen to people and stuff. You go, yes! I mean, because there's a lot more emotion power when somebody says, this miracle, the power of God will break the yoke. Well, you know, I busted a lot of eggs open and didn't take the power of God to bust them yolks. Sorry. But But it's, you know, that's what we're looking for, because we really believe that this man with all this power, he's going to break the yoke off of me. You know, you can't break the yoke off of Adam. Adam is the yoke. I mean, he and them are one and the same. It's all Adam. It's all cursed. It's all rejected of God. Die and be resurrected in union with Christ and see yourself as one with him and see yourself the way the Father sees you and live as a new creature. Yeah, but it's not as fun. It was not as exciting. He wants to die. You know, that's it. There it is. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Yes, sir.
Well, that was that's interesting you use that example, because that's exactly what the false prophets were prophesying during the time of Jeremiah. It was that God is going to break the yoke of the king of Babylon.
Yeah. Okay, so through faith, he kept the Passover. If you could just, you know, Jesus said this to his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears. He says that in Luke. Don't just read this or let somebody quote this stuff. You can sense in the spirit that there's just like major God in these scriptures. Me seeing it ain't enough. Get in there and let the and if you don't see anything, don't go, well, I tried, I didn't see anything. You know? That's it? You're the Rock of Gibraltar, aren't you? Oh my God. All right. Let me read some more. How much time we got?
14,
30 minutes. All right. Through faith, he kept the Passover. God didn't say through obedience. It said through faith. And it, you know, I mean, just go down the line. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. He has entered in to the holy realm of the heart of God and seen a lamb as the victor on the throne. Oh, my God, by faith, he kept the Passover. I can just hear his heart ringing. We've been down here as a people for 400 years. And Abraham, the father of faith, heard from God before we were even down here that we would go down here. And in the midst of a sacrifice, was told, we'll be coming out. I'm relating back constantly like this, because these things are reverberating through the history, through the years. They are true. They've been true. They're going to be true. We can act like we want. We can go follow anybody's teaching and do whatever. This stuff will not fail. Heaven and earth will pass away. God's word, and his word is not random things he wrote so that we would be obedient. His word is the realm of the essence of God in the Holy of Holies, and we can't seem to get in there, though Jesus rent the thing. And when we go in there, what we see is him, lamb, not a principle that life comes out of death. We see the nature of the one that we're one with. What we see.
Hallelujah.
So here he goes. All right. By faith. So through faith, he kept the Passover. Blood on the doorpost was not magical. It was proof of death that had taken place already. 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 Lamb already dead. Proof. Okay. It was not that these houses had no need of death. Listen carefully. It wasn't that these houses and the people in them didn't need death, or were saved from death. They weren't saved from death. No, he passed over because death had already come to those abodes. The blood was proof. The grace provided was not the avoidance of death, but the death of the Lamb. Come on, see that, embrace it. It wasn't avoiding death. That's how we see the Passover. But then we don't see it by faith. Because to see it by faith means you have to embrace death, doesn't it? There ain't going to be no resurrection without a death. Can I get amen? I mean, my God, that's the meaning. That's what the prophets, that's what the fathers, that's what they're all just screaming by their lives and by their stand throughout all of time. Not just history, all of time. Those who were on God's side had faith, and they had a faith in a life out of death. And so it was not that these houses had no need of death or were saved from death. No, he passed over because death had already come to these abodes. The grace provided was not the avoidance of death, but the death of the Lamb. That's grace. Grace is not unmerited favor, but a self-giving lamb. It is. Because do you think Isaac deserved anything that came to him? He didn't deserve it. It came to him because of Abraham's death. You think that Jacob deserved anything? Well, see, we can see it there. He didn't deserve anything. But Isaac went into death and prophesied it. And then on and on and on. Joseph and on down. Grace is not unmerited favor as we understand it, if you understand. Grace is a lamb that will give himself that benefits others, that never did deserve it. That's grace. I mean, I don't know how to say it any different. That's grace. That spirit, that selflessness, whether it's Christ embodied in Jesus of Nazareth, or Christ embodied in you, or Christ embodied in Paul, or Stephen, or, and what shall we say more of? I mean, can you hear this writer? He's just full of a good matter. He's busting over with it, and he's just filling it all in, and he's doing it based on chapter 10. Me and Matt were talking about this. He's doing it based on chapter 10 because they're slipping, they're looking at their trials and thinking that something's gone wrong instead of seeing this as this is your opportunity. And he's spelling it out right here, showing this isn't anything new. What did Peter say? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Well, every time we get into it, well, this is strange. Why is this happening? Did I sin? Here's us. I mean, here's us. Did I sin? Lord, forgive me. Forgive you of what? The cross? Forgive you of what? Being my child? Forgive you of what? Having Christ as your life? I sent this for you to utilize for the good of the kingdom of God and others. Don't, you know, but then we go, well, you know, there was that one thing I did. I deserve this. And then we void out the whole thing with self-pity. Aren't y'all glad I spent no time in preparation? Can you imagine what this would be like? Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. All right. Anybody see anything there? Don't say it. Just raise your hand if you see something. Good. Anybody else? I got three hands. Come on. I'm going to give you a hint. It's got something to do with life out of death. And it's also got something to do with the death out of which there is no resurrection. And the death where there is resurrection. All right. Just read these final notes here. Then by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Here again is a death. Their faith in a resurrection brought them through, but the Egyptians had no such faith. This death was their end. This faith was not a faith in miracles. You know? This was a faith in life out of death. By faith they passed through. Okay. I'm going to try to end with this. I'll try hard. we, you know, again, we think that miracles, that we need a miracle. You know, well, what I need is a miracle, Lord. And so we pray and we seek God. And we seek God and we pray. And we call out and we cry. And we get down and we moan. And we go on and on and on. And then we get up and we get tired of moaning and groaning after a while. We just get up and go. And just pretty soon we just become jaded. We become blasé. Okay. You understand what I mean? Well, God ain't going to do nothing. He ain't hearing my prayer. You know, maybe he did hear your prayer. Maybe he just said no. Well, no is not an answer to prayer. Yeah, it is. It's his answer to your prayer. No, that's an answer to prayer. Well, I need an answer to prayer. No. I don't know. This stuff's not that hard. Why no? Because he's a mean God. No. Because he doesn't care. He died on a cross. Well, I know, but what have you done for me lately? I mean, folks, the church has got some real problems. Jesus is the answer, and that's good news. Amen? That's good news. Passing through this Red Sea was not a miracle. It was a resurrection. The death was what? The lamb. The death was proven by what? The blood. You know, here we go. We see the death angel passing over. Of course, we see what? The grim reaper again. He's passing over and he goes, oh, there's blood down there. Oh, it's just that magical mystery blood. La la la, the mystery blood. You know, and just like, oh, no. No, 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 no. Precious, yes. Magical, you know, no. It was proof that the death had already taken place and they had embraced it by faith. By faith they kept the Passover. It says it. They're putting that blood there going, a death has already happened and we're in union with that lamb that died. And we're not only in union with it, we're going to be like it. How's that? It's called Passover. Let's eat it too. It's not just get the blood, kill him. You know, get the blood and go, we got what you want. We won. This is precious. That's just a carcass. Put the blood up, you know, and yeah, oh, the blood, the blood. Folks, they ate the lamb too. They didn't just kill him and kick him off. They said, now we need to eat this thing that gave its life for us. How do we miss all this stuff? Is it not in our Bible? No, it's in there. We just go, doop-de-doo. And I'm not trying to, but I mean, we do. We're just loping along, doop-de-doo-doo. Did you read the Bible today? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I spent 15 minutes reading and 45 sleeping. Knocked me right out. I love reading the Bible. I get more rest. You know. Well, what'd you read? Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, oh, it was in Exodus. You know, it was in Exodus. You know. You know. That blood is not magical. It is proof that a death took place and they believed in it. By faith, they kept the Passover. Faith in life out of death. And so now they're still walking in faith. Faith not in death, but in resurrection. Moses' foot goes down into the Red Sea, begins to part. Not a miracle. It would never have happened had there been not been a death of the lamb. Never. Never, 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 never. No, God's a God of miracles and he would have just gone poof, you know, and I just want to save my people even though they're selfish and self-centered and going to use me for the rest of their lives. I just want to save these people because they're so precious. No, I just want to kill them so that my son can live in them because he's so precious. Shay was telling me, look up to God. Oh, I guess you're saying there's 1 minute left. Probably it's gone. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit that is alive and well in Acts Bible School. And that you love us so much that you would reveal the secrets of your heart. And you trust that we really want what you want at whatever cost to ourselves. So you go ahead and you open these things. Father, may we not just be saved from death by embracing the blood, but may we pass it on by eating the lamb and having that same spirit continue on in your body. Father, continue to quicken next week's class. And may this course truly bring you glory and honor. By Christ, through death, unto resurrection. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.